I'm Ellis Coase, and I want to introduce you to Against the Odds. It's an occasional series of documentary specials about people in America and around the world overcoming adversity. I have a strong and personal interest in the subject. I grew up in some of Chicago's worst housing projects, where success, for many, was never seen as an option. I've always been fascinated with questions of social mobility, why some of us thrive despite hardships when so many do not. In my books and in my columns for Newsweek and other publications, I've written at length on opportunity and on barriers to success. The best stories feature real people grappling with these issues in their daily lives. With this series, I hope to introduce radio listeners to some extraordinary individuals who embody the struggle to succeed against the odds. In the pilot, we meet Abbas Hassan Muhammad, a young Somali refugee. He was raised in one of the world's most barren refugee camps, without running water, without electricity, with the most primitive educational system imaginable. The hour-long program charts the remarkable journey that brought Abbas to Princeton University, where he's now a junior. Against the Odds is produced with funding from the Ford Foundation and distributed by PRI. It will be available to public radio stations in November. From utter desperation to boundless opportunity. From a one-room shack in a desert hell to the hallowed halls of Princeton University. This is the story of a young man who, in doing the improbable, inspired others to believe they could do the same. January 1991. Somalia's president, Mohamed Siad Barre, is overthrown after a four-week battle in Mogadishu. A country of 6.5 million, largely nomadic herders, plunges into civil war. Abbas Hassan Muhammad is 9 years old.
The previous day, it was perfect and normal. The next day, everything was chaotic. They were firing in every direction. A grenade landed on a nearby house and killing all the occupants. People were trying to find their families and get them somewhere safe.
Before Abbas's family could flee, his father was picked up.
I was taken to a military camp 14 kilometers from the town. On the way, they told me, "Today is your last day in this world. You're going to be killed." It was after that I was convinced.
Convinced that the country was collapsing, and that, as a member of a minority clan, he would always be a target.
We carried anything of our belongings that we could carry on our backs. Anything that was not important, we left behind.
We had to move during the night. One time, Abbas thought he had been told to move. He got caught by thorns, so he shouted. He called out, "Abo!" One woman, she was breastfeeding her child. She heard the sound of Abbas, and she hit me. She said, "Go save your children from the hyenas."
We were too weak to walk to the border, which was almost the same distance we traveled.
Exhausted, dehydrated, broke, the father begged friends and relatives for money to get them to the border. When they arrived in the Kenyan desert, Hassan Muhammad fell to his knees and prayed.
I said instead of taking my children where I could get money, I would prefer to go to a place where all of my children can get an education. That was a prayer I made.
My first impression was a very dry place, very, very dusty. Our home was made of the plastic sheet provided by the UN that covers a few twigs that have been joined together using ropes, and people sleep on a mat, which is laid on the ground.
Abbas's father set up a kiosk in the market, selling sugar, tea, vegetables, whatever he could get his hands on.
When Abbas was not in school or on weekends, he came to help me. For the money, I dug a small hole in the floor.
At night, you can't move out of your houses because bandits or what they call shifters roaming around trying to prey on people.
One night, the shifters came.
My family was raided by three bandits. They came at 7 p.m. and pointed gun at everyone, ordering everyone to lie flat on his chest on the ground.
One of the gunmen told Abbas, "I already killed your father and mother. I will kill you if you don't tell me where the money is."
They came in and flashed a light on my face and then dragged me from bed and threw me on the ground, kicking me, punching me.
The family's loss amounted to about $90. The experience confirmed a key lesson for Hassan Muhammad. Life without freedom was unremittingly harsh. And freedom, for someone like him, only came through education.
When a child is born and his umbilical cord is cut, what people normally do is they'll tie that umbilical cord with what they want their child to be passionate of in the future. If they want their child to like keeping animals, then they'll tie that onto an animal.
I decided that when a child is born in my family, instead of tying the umbilical cord of the child to an animal, I tie it to a book and a pen.
In 2003, Abbas Hassan Muhammad took the exam for the Kenya Certificate of Secondary Education. He ranked first in the northeastern province of Kenya and eighth in the entire country. A professor visiting from Princeton thought he might be Ivy League material.
This professor, he sent us Princeton application forms. I've never heard of Princeton then. I just knew it was just a school in the US and that was all.
I never dreamt of such a university in existence anywhere like that. And it was quite exciting.
You can imagine my joy when I read the fact that I was given admission and full financial aid. I literally started jumping. I didn't want to cry. That would be unheard of for a Somali man. But I was extremely overjoyed.
I paid for his plane ticket to the US. And it was a real pleasure because he definitely didn't have the money to get there. I mean, he didn't have anything.
I was overwhelmed with joy. We all shared this joy.
I mean, I thought this was wackery. I thought this was too wide a cultural and intellectual gulf for a student from a refugee camp.
He actually was very wide-eyed, and he was absorbing everything.
The room was very beautiful.
He had a very small single, but he was very happy with how much space he had.
Well furnished, with a bed, with a mattress, with a chair, with a table, with drawers, with the electricity. I didn't have to use my kerosene lamp anymore.
Abbas, of course, was lucky. Over 10 million people languish in refugee camps around the world. And those who get out face yet another set of challenges.
Each story is different. Some of them will flourish from day one. Some of them will struggle. Some of them will dream of home every night.
I literally brought Afghanistan with me. I brought the pains of Afghanistan. I brought the plights of Afghanistan.
That's one thing I always wonder about. I don't know if they shooted them that day, or I don't know if they are alive.
You make use of the resources you have. You don't envy people. You don't say, why did so make it and I can't make it? If you believe in yourself, things are possible.
My father is my hero. My mother is also my hero. So I'm a product of all these people, organizations, individuals coming together and making this dream a reality.
Beyond Abbas's dream lie two simple questions. Why should he, gifted and hardworking as he is, be such a splendid exception? And how can we capture the light that shines on him and let it shine on others who are just as deserving? This is Ellis Coase. The program is Against the Odds from PRI, ready for broadcast in November 2007.